Thank you, Mr. Sharp. With that, our first public hearing was tabled from our last meeting, and Mr. Wheatley, since you made the table, we would need you to make a motion to take it off.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we lift the conditional use number 2117 from the table and resume the public hearing.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to lift the table on conditional use number 2117, Blessing Greenhouse and Compost. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I will be recusing myself.
Okay.
And I didn't vote.
Okay. Mr. Keller, Mr. Hopkins is on vacation again. Is there someone here from Denrec, which is why, please come forward. And while you come forward, Mr. Churchill, is the intent of the chair that this was tabled to allow Denrec an opportunity to respond to questions from the commission and any questions that the commission feels the public asks that are worthy to pass on to the Denrec. It is not the intent of the chair to reopen this public hearing for the applicant or the public. That testimony has been closed, is in my opinion. Now, if someone is so demanding from either side of that debate that they want to be heard, I'll entertain that, but I'll also at that point have to give the opposing side an opportunity. So with that, I would prefer not to get into that rebuttal situation. If you don't mind setting your name and address for the record.
I'm Brian Churchill. I'm an environmental scientist with Denrec in the Division of Water, Surface Water Discharges section. And my address is 503 Diamond Drive, Middletown, Delaware.
Thank you, Mr. Churchill. You may proceed. If you can move that mic a little closer to your, thank you.
Okay, well, good evening, everyone. Appreciate you having me here. I had a conflict last meeting, so I was unable to make it. But I wanted to go through and hit a few key points that I think need to be touched on from the last meeting. And then I obviously open questions and comments from you folks. I think there was a lot of misinformation that was presented during the meeting on the 8th. And there are several statements indicating that there are no improvements at the facility, and that's just completely false. I've been working on this site for about 8 years now, and while things were in really bad shape in the past, particularly maybe from the years 2008 through 2012 or so, since then the facility's made some really big improvements, and that's evidenced by the improvement of the groundwater beneath the facility. And you can just see by looking at aerial views at a site the amount of material that's been removed from the property. Currently, the groundwater impacts from the facility are minimal. I know some folks indicated during the last meeting that that was not true, but I'd like to share a little information and just show you why this is the case. Okay, as you can see from this image, groundwater flow direction at the compost facility is from the northwest towards the southeast of the site. So Modern Well 4 is an upgradient well. Modern Wells 3 and 1 are downgradient wells. And Modern Well 2 is actually also a downgradient well. In the past, compost was stored on the soil here. It extended from the tree line all the way up to approximately this area here. And we've been working with Blessing Greenhouses for many years to get this material off the soil. And currently, all that material is off the soil. The majority of it was sold and has been removed from the facility. However, several bunkers, which are structures with plastic lining in them to ensure that the compost doesn't impact groundwater, are still present in this location here. However, a large amount of material has been removed. On the pre-compost pad, which is the area over here, as you're all aware, the county's required a large amount, actually all that material to be removed within the next year. Somewhere around 50% of the material has been removed to date, and approximately, I would say the line is right where the cursor is here as to how much material has been removed. So anything to the west of this approximate area here, to the left, has been removed, and that's been confirmed by a Sussex County inspector. During the February 8th planning and zoning meeting, I believe somebody indicated that the facility is not operating in accordance with its stormwater plan. That's inaccurate. Staff from Denrec did a stormwater inspection back in May of 2017 and found the facility to be compliant with their stormwater plan. I have not seen evidence of violations of the stormwater plan since then. However, the stormwater inspectors are different individuals than myself, but they don't go out too frequently. It's usually every few years they visit a facility. While odors are still present at the facility, they're a fraction of what they once were. Understandably so, a lot of people that live in a surrounding community were upset in the past. I think the majority of the odors were from land application activities that occurred surrounding the compost facility. The compost facility is here. Land application used to occur on this field here, these two fields here, all these fields over here as well. And that activity stopped in the first half of 2015. There were a lot of flies, a lot of issues with the land application going on there. It has since stopped. There's no longer a permit for land application. Folks were, like I said before, understandably upset about the odors that were associated with that. And also the compost facility had its share of odors, strong odors in the past. The facility is no longer bringing in the waste products it once was. The material that's there has been broken down, and when it's undisturbed, the odors are not what I would consider extremely strong. You certainly will smell them along Draper Road if the wind is blowing in that direction, but the many times I've been out there in the past few years, I have not been smelling odors surrounding in the areas surrounding residences. So for instance, up in this general here area here to the east here along Codds Road, or down here on, I believe this is Truett Road, I have not been observing these odors. I've gone on two inspections with a county inspector, and he mirrored my observations, and I believe, well, I haven't seen the inspection report he put together from, I think it was November inspection. We definitely had that discussion while we were on site. So as long as the operation is functioning as it is currently, there definitely will be odors with it. And as Mr. Blessing is working on the piles to remove them, you know, screen them, he has to turn them. There's a lot of different activities that have to occur at the facility. When the piles are broken open, there's certainly odors associated with that. There's no way around that right now. If one day infrastructure is put into facility where, you know, it can be done indoors, it should be a different story. But right now, unfortunately, it is what it is. But I want to emphasize that the odors are a fraction of what they once were, and I received one odor complaint in 2017. I will add that the environmental protection officers, they may have received some odor complaints that I'm not aware of, but to me, I received one odor complaint in 2017. In my opinion, some of the conditions in the conditional use are flawed and they need to be reworded. I raised concerns before the conditional use was even issued. I attended the county council meeting back in, I think it was April. I spent over 40 minutes giving testimony, and I felt I gave the county a lot of good information, but I feel that a lot of that was not incorporated into the conditional use. And as a result, when I first saw the conditional use, I had many concerns, and I wrote several emails to the county. And actually before that, when the conditions were still draft, I had several concerns that I voiced to the county as well. And I'll get into that in just a minute, what I mean by all that as far as the needing some adjustment. The main issue, as I see it, is the one-year deadline. I'm not opposed to a bond being in place. Denrek actually asked for a bond to be in place for the facility. At the time, when a financial analysis was done in 2016, it was determined that Mr. Blessing's, or rather the company's finances, were such that he couldn't afford a bond in the amount that Denrek wanted in place. Is the $1 million bond the appropriate amount? I don't know, and I'm not really here to talk about that. What I am here to talk about is the time frame. I don't see it being possible for Mr. Blessing to remove all the compost from the facility by summertime. I think the deadline's in early August, perhaps August 9th or so. While he's made a lot of progress on the pre-compost pile here, and he may come close or possibly even achieve that deadline by summertime, we shouldn't forget that there's also those bunkers I mentioned earlier that also contain compost that still needs to be composted. And it's not as simple as just removing the product from the facility. The pre-compost area and two of the four bunkers that are currently on site have a small percentage of the material that was blended in there. It contains biosolids. And biosolids have stringent regulations that are associated with them. Doesn't matter if it's 1% or 100% biosolids, the same requirements have to be followed. And in order to distribute the material, it's Mr. Blessing has to segregate sections of the, be it the pre-compost pad or the material in the bunkers. Typically it needs some sort of nitrogen added to that to get the piles active again so they'll heat up. And the piles have to obtain a temperature of at least 131 degrees Fahrenheit for 3 days, and it has to happen five times. The piles are turned five times to ensure all the material is heated up. While over the years, any biosolids that's in the compost is likely broken down, and there shouldn't be much in the way of pathogens, if any, that would be concerning in the biosolid material. It still has to be done as a safeguard, and this all has to be documented. So, as I was saying, the pre-compost material, that's actively being broken down and distributed. However, there's the material in the bunkers that would still have to be done, and I just don't see it being possible for that material to be broken down for the one-year deadline. So if that term is not adjusted, I don't know what the answer is, but the material, it has to be processed in such a way before it's distributed, and there's certain speed that can be done at. If I may, I want to address two of the conditions in the conditional use. Condition B states no new uncomposted materials other than what is necessary to complete the composting process for materials existing on site shall be accepted at the site until the areas of the concrete pre-compost pad are cleared of the materials that currently exist there, as required in a fourth and fifth bullet items of Denrek's March 11, 2017 letter to Jennifer Wall, Sussex County Planning and Zoning Manager. The removal of these materials must be underway immediately upon adoption of the ordinance approving the conditional use by County Council, with inspections by Sussex County and Denrek occurring every 3 months to review and report on the status of the work. I believe during the last meeting, the Planning and Zoning Commission, is that the right term, improperly interpreted the condition. I know you guys have lots of sites that you deal with on a monthly basis, and I have a hard enough time recalling what was done with the site, and I routinely look at it. And I feel it was improperly interpreted in that this, as I understand it, condition B was never designed to include the entire facility, the wood waste and yard waste at the facility. It mirrors certain requirements, the language does, in Denrek's agreement and secretary's order from 2014, which deals with the material on the pre-compost pad. When it speaks about uncomposted materials other than what's necessary to complete the composting process, What it's talking about is, referring back to that agreement secretary's order, DENREC approved one product for Mount Air. It's a...
Excuse me, Mr. Churchill.
Yes.
I mean, the commission, I think, put this in for the intent that we didn't want the piles to grow. We felt there was too much non-composted material on site, inert material, if you want to call it, wood fiber material. Mm-hmm. So it was put in there with the intent to not add to the piles so that the process would actually reduce the amount of material on site from the big mounds to something more aesthetically pleasing and in character with the area. So I think we know why we put that in there. And so I would just suggest to you that if there's any misconception as to what that means, it's on your part, not on ours.
I'm not sure that's accurate.
We wrote the condition, sir.
Okay.
We know what we wrote.
The material, it speaks to, well, okay, if that's the case, then there's also conditions that speak to ours for bringing more material on site. So if you didn't want more material coming on site, why is there a condition?
We recognize that there might be some materials necessary, as you mentioned, like the nitrogen.
Right.
That would be needed, a nitrogen source, to reinvigorate the piles of composting process. We recognize that, and we provided for that. We did not want to provide a hole in the conditional use so that the operation could continue to grow and expand and become a bigger eyesore nuisance to the neighborhood than it already was.
And again, this mirrors DENREC's language, which did the same thing. It limited it to the amount of material that's necessary to heat the piles up. So this was mirroring that language.
To the degree that we could use DENREC's language, we did. But we also have the right to expand on that language and put our own conditions.
It's difficult for me to formulate all my thoughts with all the history that's here and the correspondence between me and the county. I might be better off putting it in writing, but I'll just leave it at
I mean, it's okay for you to disagree with the conditions. That's fine.
We're
not asking you to agree or disagree. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, and that's cool. But we were all on the commission when we wrote these up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the bond portion of the conditions was not written by the commission. That was written by the council.
Mm-hmm.
These other conditions were. And so I think we know why we put them in there.
Okay. Moving on to condition M. I listened to the audio from the hearing on the 8th, and somebody gave an adorable story about how their son wasn't listening to them. And
that was me, sir.
Okay. Gave the story about how your son wasn't listening to you, and you know, you told him to pick up his socks, and you felt that he was twisting your words around, and you ultimately ended up smacking him, and he complied. Something to that effect. And I don't really think that's a good analogy for my interpretation of condition M and the ambiguity that's in the language that's there. It's not clear. I voiced my concerns as soon as I first saw that condition, and I still don't think it's clear. DENREC does not have timelines in place for the remediation of the material on the facility. This condition refers back to DENREC requirements. It says if the property has not been remediated in accordance with DENREC requirements at least 4 months from the date of this approval, I think what it means there is more than 4 months from the date of this approval, but applicants shall be required to obtain a performance bond in the amount of $1 million. Again, I think a bond is a good thing to have in place, but it refers back to DENREC requirements, and my concern from day one is, what exactly are these DENREC requirements that are being referred to? There were deadlines in the department's 2014 agreement and secretary's order, but they've since passed. There was one requirement that an area 90 feet by 100 feet on the pre-compost pad be removed so he had space to continue composting activities, do those turnings the 5 times and get the temperature requirements and
Mr. such. Churchill, the condition M does not reference the agreement of the secretary.
I know, it refers to Denrec requirements.
It talks to Denrec requirements. And we do that frequently. We talk about different agencies' approvals and things like that. We don't know what your requirements are. You do.
Right.
Okay? So we just wanted to make sure that the pad was cleaned off in the proper time or the bond would be implemented. That was the council's requirement to add the bond language. But it had to adhere to your rules and regulations, whatever they might be, your requirements, okay? Mm-hmm. You're trying to read into this that this is somehow tied to the agreement of the secretary, which it's not. We lifted some language out of there to try to match it up as best we could, but we also put our own twist on it.
Okay.
I believe the 4-month timeline was proffered by the applicant, and so that's where the timeline of 4 months came from.
I'm sorry, it was what by the applicant?
Proffered. It was offered by the applicant
okay.
to be done in a 4-month period.
Mm-hmm.
How the county council arrived at $1 million, I don't know. But the county does have the authority to set bonds at a rate that it feels is reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that they and somehow came up with a number of the $1 million in a logical fashion. I was not part of that conversation.
Well, I'm trying to work with the county through this process, and we actually had a meeting in, I think it was September, to discuss the confusion over the language here. It certainly was confusing to me, and I couldn't get anything in writing from the county specifying exactly which Denrec requirements it's referring to. The term remediation typically refers to, cleaning up something that's contaminated, be it groundwater or I'm not sure what. So again, I was just trying to track down exactly what the county was referring to here, and I couldn't get a response.
Well, obviously, we want the pre-compost pad cleaned off.
Right.
And we wanted it done in a 4-month period or a bond be posted.
Okay, well. Here we are, and obviously that hasn't happened. And I would just suggest.
I think you actually asked for that. Denrec did in one of its agreements with the secretary.
Yes, we asked for a bond in both of the agreements of the secretary's order.
No, you also asked for the pre-compost pad to be cleaned off.
Yes, yes.
Did that get done?
That's what I was just mentioning a minute ago, where there was the original timeline. There's 270 days to get a 90-foot by 100-foot area cleared, and then as additional portions of the pre-compost pad are cleared off. The department was to come out and inspect the pad for its integrity to make sure if compost was stored there in the future that there wouldn't be an issue with materials leaching through and impacting.
Sure, and it's my understanding that the first that section that was outlined in the agreement of the secretary was cleared in the 270 days,
mm-hmm.
but no additional area of the pre-compost pad eventually got cleared. In fact, it was recovered.
It was recovered?
It was once again used. The area that had been cleared in the 270 days was more material was brought in.
No.
After the inspection. Is that still clear today?
Yes.
But it was reused, wasn't it?
It was used, as I mentioned earlier. It's critical that the site have concrete area to get the time and temperature requirements met. So once that the pad was full, that area was cleared off, and that allowed a place for materials to be processed so they could be
right.
removed.
But the additional pad never did get cleared off.
No, as I mentioned earlier, about 50% of the pad is cleared at this point.
But that agreement of the secretary was in 2014.
Correct.
Is it still current, or is it operating under a permit?
It's still the current mechanism that the facility is permitted under.
So that area of the pad should have been cleared prior to our issuing of the conditional use.
There was no deadline for it to be done. There is a,
Ma'am, please. We're not having anything like this. Okay.
Yeah. Our mission is to make sure that the groundwater is not being impacted, surface water is not being impacted, and improvements at the facility have been made to ensure that it's not happening. There's not surface water runoff from compost-laden material entering Slaughter Creek. Groundwater impacts are minimal at this point, and so Denrec's perspective was not so much that there was a need to clear the pad within a year or two or whatever time period there is. Mr. Blessing was consistently removing product from the facility. As I mentioned earlier, that whole west portion of the site that had compost sitting on the bare soil, a large amount of material had been sold off from there. Progress has been being made year after year. Admittedly, not as quickly as what we would like to see, but progress was being made. And at this point, with this 1-year time frame, I don't know what's going to happen. If the conditional use is pulled, Mr. Austin mentioned in his comments last week that the material is hazardous waste. It's not. It doesn't meet any of the four characteristics of hazard waste. It's not going to be regulated under HISCA. It's not going to go from my program to SERS to be cleaned up. If this product is sitting there, we'd continue to monitor it, but it may sit there for quite some period of time. We're not in the business of composting. So the goal was to have Mr. Blessing continue to compost the material that's on site. As I mentioned earlier, because it has been sitting for so long, there's not a strong odor associated with it until it's broken up and processed. And the odor that's there currently is a fraction of what it once was, because not all these waste products are being brought in. The one waste product that was being brought in from Mount Air recently has little to no odor to it. It's basically a cooked product. It has a mild odor associated with it. So at the end of the day, condition M, the bond isn't my issue. I just want to understand what exactly it's saying and make sure that if it is referring to specific Denver requirements, I know what that is, so I can assist in the process of helping the facility get to where it needs to be to comply with this conditional use.
Is that a question?
That's a statement.
Okay.
Let me go on, if I may. I reviewed Mr. Austin's comments, and I thought there was a lot of misinformation in there. I found the testimony problematic, and the reason I found that is, he states that he worked for EPA, which I'm sure he did, and probably makes him an expert in certain areas, but doesn't make him an expert in every area that deals with the environment. Neither am I, for that matter. But when folks, state their credentials, I think people believe what they're saying is 100% true, and I just had a few issues with the testimony that I wanted to give my perspective on.
That's why we wanted you here.
Thank you. The first one's minor, but it referred to Mr. Blessing's facility violating Administrative Code Section 7412 and 7103. 7412 is actually the Chester River watershed and not the watershed that Blessing Greenhouses is in, so that's just something that I wanted to make a note of. More importantly, he mentioned that, I touched on it briefly, but the materials hazardous waste, or hazardous, let's see, how did he word it here? I believe it was hazardous waste or hazardous materials, but as I mentioned earlier, that's actually a defined term. It has to meet one of the four characteristics of hazardous waste to be considered a hazardous waste material, and it meets none of those. It's things like ignitability or corrosivity and such. So this material is not going to be cleaned up under the Delaware Hazardous Substance Cleanup Act, HISCA. And as I mentioned earlier, we don't have a mechanism in place to clean this product up. That's some discussions we'd have to have on what possibilities are out there. But there's not some sort of safety umbrella because it's a hazardous waste that it's going to be cleaned up under HISCA. That's not going to happen. The biggest issue I had was Mr. Austin made a statement that Denrick indicated that Blessing Greenhouses or Isdell Sanitation impacted somebody's drinking water well. And that's simply not accurate. Back in 2011, there was a home here on Truett Road, right here where the mouse is, that tested positive for nitrate at a little over 15 parts per million. As I mentioned earlier, Mr. Blessing was, land applying on these fields. He usually would leave a significant buffer next to his house, but, in the whole surrounding area. But we have people in our department that are specialists when it comes to groundwater, professional geologists. They went to school for this. This is what they do for a living, and they understand how nitrate acts in the groundwater. Mr. Austin, I'm not sure what his credentials are, but I don't believe he's a professional geologist, and if he's not, he shouldn't be making claims and statements on groundwater flow and things of that nature. The professional within DENREC, our hydrologist, she drafted a 10-page document in regards to the concerns here, and ultimately her stance on the impacted well was that because the well was screened at approximately 85 to 90 feet deep, and that's the main reason that the well was unlikely impacted from land application activities. That's neither here nor there at this point. We're not talking about land application, we're talking about the compost facility. compost facilities here, about 4,000 feet away from the wells here. Groundwater flow direction in this area is kind of a divide. It could be going multiple directions, but this whole area here actually flows towards Slaughter Creek, as does the area here. But anything that's going on here, Blessing Greenhouses, cannot impact in a shallow and confined aquifer drinking water well here. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to flow up gradient. It's not likely going to cross the stream here either. And I just wanted to make it clear that DENREC never said that Blessing's activities impacted the well. They actually said the opposite of that it was unlikely that the activities impacted the well. I think one other thing that I wanted to touch on was some statements were made to the effect that Mr. Blessing's facility here is impacting Slaughter Creek, and the reason for the surface water readings being why they're so much higher downstream than they are upstream is from his activities. The stream sampled right here at Route 1 at the bridge, and then another sample is collected right here at Draper Road. It's not the ideal sampling location to determine any impacts that come from the compost facility, but this area is very hard to approach because it's kind of, you know, marshy and mucky in there and such. I wouldn't put too much faith in those results as they relate to the facility here. They always have been, since we started testing higher downstream from Blessing's facility, but as evidenced by the multi-level groundwater wells that are at Blessing Greenhouses, there's minimal impacts from the compost facility to groundwater. If you want, I could go through the data well by well and show you that this is the case. There was significant impacts from that product on the western portion of the site that used to be on the bare soil, but since that material has been taken off the soil, it wasn't in the form of nitrate, it was in the form of ammonia. It's a type of nitrogen, but those levels have come down drastically. So at this point, there's minimal impacts from Blessing Greenhouses facility to groundwater. Now, are these impacts to the stream from former land application activities from Blessing? Possibly, I'm sure at least a portion of that is what's impacting the stream. However, keep in mind that there's a lot of other sources of nitrogen to groundwater in this area. There's, you know, chicken houses, there's other agricultural activities going on. So, you know, we don't know exactly the breakdown of how much of the materials from Blessing's former land application activities versus, you know, other influences. So I just wanted to make that clear. But I feel confident in saying that the compost facility is having minimal impact to groundwater. I'm sure I had some more things I wanted to say, but I'm having a tough time picking through my notes here. Maybe at this point I would leave it open for questions if you folks have anything you want to ask.
No, thank you for those, especially that last information is very helpful. We'll start with Mr. Wheatley.
I don't have any questions right now.
Ms. Rutten?
When you say that the piles were reduced by 50%, talking about a couple individual piles, how do you measure those?
Well, when I've gone out there the past two times with the county inspector, trying to find the best aerial view to show this. Okay, so again, here's the pre-compost pile, and that's an estimate. In November, I think I said it was close to 30%. I think now it is close to 50%, but how that's based is, back in, I don't want to say a date because I might be wrong, but a few years ago, this entire pre-compost pad all the way up to this point here was covered with compost. Over the past, 6-7 months, however long it's been since the conditional use was issued, it went from an area somewhere in this general area here back. When we did our inspection in November, it was 20 feet west of this round concrete tank here. So this draw a straight line right about here. Okay. And then our most recent inspection earlier this week, it was almost even, maybe slightly further to the east of the east side of this concrete tank. So a line right in this general area here. It may be less than 50%. It's certainly, I think, more than 30% at this point. But there is progress being made. This material is being removed from the site. I will say, and I think some folks have brought this up, when he screens this material for distribution, there's the larger material that's left behind. And that product or that material stays on site typically, or he can distribute it in some other way, but the wood can continue to break down and he can rescreen it a few years later or whatever and keep working through the process. So while the pad's being cleared, the actual tonnage leaving the pad is less than what's actually leaving the site because some of that material does remain on site. At the end of the day, I don't think there's enough time by August to get this entire pad cleared off. I don't. Is it 50%? That's probably on the high side. I think it's, again, higher than 30%, somewhere in that area. It's not a real scientific way of figuring it out.
You kind of, by saying rough percentages, it gives me an idea if between now and August, where we could be or where you could be.
Yeah. And like I mentioned earlier, you know, even if this was done by August, which, again, I think that's optimistic, but, you know, his sales did pick up in the past year, so who am I to say it's not possible? But there's a bunker here, a bunker here. This is an old picture. This doesn't exist anymore. But there's, like, two bunkers here as well. And all that product would have to be removed from the site as well at some point, and that's likely going to, you know, go on well past a year, again, for that material to all be processed and meet the time and temperature requirements and such.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Sorry, Stevenson.
Okay, I'm going to ask stupid questions. So appreciate you being here and being
Thank
kind
you.
To me. So we've said get all the stuff off the pad, and you just said it's not hazardous. Why can't you just get it, put it in a truck, get it out of there?
The reason for that is there's a percentage of biosolids used to receive sewage sludge, small quantities of that compared to the overall amount of material taken on site. But it doesn't matter if it's 1% or 100% biosolids. There's federal regulations and state regulations that say in order to distribute the material, it has to be considered Class A. And that's where that time and temperature requirement comes into play. So the EPA developed regulations that on how to make biosolids safe for use by the general public. That's the Class A designation. And in order to do that, he has to heat the product up and, again, you know, turn it over five times and such before it's distributed off-site and measure certain metals and different parameters that are in the material as well. So while it's not hazardous waste, that's a defined term, it does have a portion of biosolids in it. This product here does. Some of the bunkers do, some of the bunkers don't have biosolids in it. But all this material here, because there's no way to segregate where loads of biosolids went versus other products that came in, we just consider that whole thing as containing biosolids. And again, it heated up originally when the product was put in there because it's been sitting for so long, and it was never documented that the time and temperature requirements were met. He has to pull small chunks of it out, segregate it, document that it meets the time and temperature requirements, and then it can be distributed off-site.
With half the... You said 50% is cleared, or
at most,
so he should have space to process more at a faster rate, I'm assuming, the more pad he has?
Yeah, the issue is not so much the space on the pad. There's a large open space on the pad. I think the issue, and it might be better to ask Mr. Blessing this, but it's the markets that he has available to accept the material. I suppose if it was given away for free, it could go more quickly, but it does have to be processed before it can leave the site.
Okay. Well, that was my. And you've been dealing with this for 8 years.
Well, when I started in this program in 2008, the facility had already been running for several years, and there was, you know, already this whole area here was pretty much covered. The area on the pre-compost pad wasn't as large. It wasn't as extensive as it is now, but there was still a lot of material here as well. And, you know, we definitely learned some lessons as we went through this site. We would definitely do some things differently than we did. But at the end of the day, in late 2000, well, in 2010, we were getting concerned. We issued a permit for 1 year instead of the usual 5 years that we would issue. And at the end of that 1 year permit from 2011 to the end, the calendar year 2011, when that permit ended, we stopped incoming material. When I say incoming material, not yard waste, that's regulated separately, but the waste products that he'd bring in. So biosolids and, you know, hatchery waste and different products like that, the materials that had strong odors that were causing this pile to get larger and larger, mm-hmm. and that most of this material here was comprised of as well. We stopped that material from coming in, and we couldn't issue a permit at that point. We went under an agreement secretary's order that was the regulatory mechanism at that point. It referred back to requirements in the previous distribution marketing permit as far as meeting, you know, the Class A requirements and such, but it had certain milestones that had to be met within certain periods of time. And we were, I guess, overly ambitious, if I'm being completely honest, with some of the time frames we had in there. And when that fell through, and, you know, it just, they weren't
Were any of the milestones met even late?
Yeah, some of the milestones were met. I have to go back and look at, you know, specifically which ones weren't and which ones were. But that's when we came in 2014. We amended the agreement. We reworked the deadlines. And it wasn't so much because groundwater was no longer a major concern. Surface water was no longer a major concern. It wasn't so much that it was critical to have things done quickly. It was just a matter of continuing to have progress and to have this product removed from the site. That's how we got to today. So it's been slow. Progress is not as quick as we would like to have it move forward, but it's been consistent, and contrary to what a lot of folks have said, there has been a lot more material leaving the site than coming onto it when it comes to the pre-compost pad and the bunkers here. Now, the yard waste, that's a whole other conversation.
Okay, fair enough. Are there other composting processes or businesses like this in the state?
There's only two, including Blessings, that were permitted to compost biosolids. Mm-hmm. City of Seaford and Mr. Blessings' facility. There are other compost facilities in the state. I honestly don't have a handle on how many are left. It's handled by a different program when they don't contain biosolids. Mm-hmm. But there have been failures there as well.
Okay. That was my question then. Is everybody missing their deadlines? So
it's
Was the other one DuPont? Because I know they used to have
aware.
They used to have a big sludge deal going on with them. So
there was Peninsula that was located up in Wilmington. There was, I think, Blue Hen Organics. I don't know the names mm-hmm. of all of them, but yeah, there was a few, and I know a few of them have gone out of business. And Mr. Blessing's, you know, final product is a great material. I understand that, you know, a lot of folks enjoy using it, but the problem was the sheer amount of material coming on site. He was in contracts with various companies that gave him the waste, and it wasn't leaving the site nearly quickly enough. Like I said, we learned some lessons. We would do things differently if we could go back, and we wouldn't allow as much material to be on the site as there is today. But there's been continual progress made, and you know, the impacts to the environment have been minimized.
Other than market difficulties, could all this stuff be ready to be processed and out of here in the time frame?
Including the material in the bunkers?
I don't care about that. We've been worried about the pad. Let's just deal with the pad right now.
Possibly. if and I don't know the ins and outs of Mr. Blessing's business, but
the basic process, you know, though.
The basic process,
you,
I know.
You know what he has to do.
Yeah.
What has to be done.
Yeah, he'd have to make, you know, small segregated piles, turn them over, and
get them
right
out of there.
So
right,
possibly. I've never seen it done that aggressively. I haven't like laid out, you know, how much square areas needed for each thing, but yeah, it's definitely possible.
Okay, all right. Those are my questions. So, but are we talking some of the same stuff that you were dealing with in 2010 is still there?
Yeah, the product that was on the soil here, almost all of that's gone. And literally, it was from the trees up to somewhere in this general area here, all on the bare soil. There's a little bit left from that. I think there's two bunkers. I couldn't give you a percentage. If I was just to guess, I don't know, 10% or something. Okay. But the product here, in 2010, I'd imagine a little bit of this is from that, but most of it was accumulated in 2010 and 11. And then that's when the flow stopped coming in.
It's been there a good while.
It has, yes.
Okay. So I'm no business expert, but this doesn't sound like a particularly good business to be in if you can't get rid of the stuff. That's not yours to say. I'm just making a comment. But, okay, thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
To clarify, do you know what year this was originally permitted?
I want to say 2005.
Yeah, Mr. Blessing said 5 or 6. He wasn't sure. So, and then its current status, is it still operating under the 2014 agreement of the secretary?
Correct.
So it's not under a permitted status.
No.
And then you mentioned, before we go there, you questioned our language of DENREC requirements, but then you referred to requirements for disposing of biosolids or the handling of biosolids.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think that's what the commission and the council recognized, that we knew there had to be some rules in regards to these. And you used the word requirements several times in your answers to Mrs. Hoey Stevenson. So I think that's what we were referring to, if that helps clear that up for you.
Is that definitely the case?
Yeah, we just want to make sure he's following the rules.
Yeah, okay. We don't want to spread stuff that...
Yeah, we don't want to tell him...
We don't want to make anything worse in the world.
Because literally the morning that I received the conditional use, I was emailing the county trying to get clarification on
this. We just want to make sure he's following the rules. We didn't want Mr. Blessing to go out and do something with a pre-compost material and then say, well, the county told me to do it, so I'm breaking your rules.
Okay.
No, we wanted him to get rid of the pre-compost material on the pad, but he has to follow the rules while he's doing it.
I would just ask, if possible, in the future, if DENREC requirements are referenced to, that maybe somebody could have a dialogue with me, just, or somebody
sure.
in my department,
yeah.
so we have an understanding exactly what's being said, because it was not clear to me, it wasn't clear to my boss, it wasn't clear to anybody else that read it within DENREC.
I think we can accommodate that, but understand that you don't have veto power over how we write our motions,
no.
but we'll try to do a better job, okay? And then you mentioned the yard waste and stuff, which is significant. I think Mr. Blessing said around 75% of the materials on site are these woody fibers, whatever you want to call them. Do you have a hand in regulating those yard waste on the site or what?
No. Yard waste by itself, as I understand it, is not regulated. There's not... it would be regulated under the Division of Waste and Solid and Hazardous Waste, or is it Waste and Hazardous Substance? I'm not sure. But it would be handled under a different division. But as I understand it, no, that those products are not regulated. If when they're composted, that activity is regulated. But to actually bring in yard waste, we don't have, within my regulations anyway, to limit that. Now we could, probably find a mechanism to do that. And I'm not going to disagree that there's plenty of material out here for what he needs, moving forward.
Right.
Is there anything that he needs to get it done? I mean, that he would need to bring in? You said he might need ammonia or nitrates
The material from Mount Air, I think was really important. As I understand it, that's been dwindling, though, the quantities coming in. And as far as another nitrogen source, we haven't had discussions. I think, mixing some wood waste can help, but I don't know if that in by itself is sufficient. So that would be a question maybe better for Mr. Blessing to answer.
Any other questions by members of the commission? Ms. Walls.
I just had one question, and this is to kind of piggyback off of Ms. Hoey Stevenson's question regarding the process. Does the winter weather slow down? Did that have an impact on his ability to meet the requirements?
It does. I'm not familiar with requirements in all the surrounding states. In Delaware, there's a nutrient prohibition period from December 7th through February 15th. Where this type of product is not supposed to be land applied. I think Maryland has a larger window. It's, I think, November through March or April, probably March. I'm not sure about Jersey. I think Jersey's where a lot of his material goes. I don't know what the window is there, but not only regulatory requirements, but just, you know, fields can be saturated, it can be tough to get out and spread material. So I think that is a factor, yes.
What about just in general, the composting process, you know, how is that?
It's affected somewhat by temperature, but when he has a good nitrogen source, I don't think, you know, even the coldest weather prevents it from heating up typically.
Okay, thank you. I wasn't sure.
Samantha?
No questions, thank you.
Ms. Cornwell?
None, thank you.
Ms. Sharp?
I have none, thank you.
Ms. Churchill, I want to thank you for coming. I think there's frustration in the neighborhood and probably in within government, county government, that we've had an operation that's been going on for some 13 years. And our issue at the county level is land use. And one of the biggest questions in land use is compatibility with the character surroundings. And when you ride by there and you see these big mounds of yard waste and then you have the compost stuff and the smell that's associated with that, even though it has been mitigated to some degree, it becomes a bit of a sticky issue when we come in 10, 12 years after the fact. So it's difficult for us to deal with it in that perspective. I do appreciate your comments as far as trying to bring some clarity into our motions that when we're dealing with DENREC and these types of things, we don't do this often, naturally, so we'll try to do a better job in the future making sure that our language and your language meet, okay?
Yeah,
thank
I'm,
you so much.
I'm always available as a resource, you know, anytime, okay. Just reach out to me, and I'm happy to work with you guys.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Ms. Churchill.
Thank you.
With that, if there's no other questions by the commission or staff, mm-hmm. We're going to close the public hearing on this application. You're welcome to stay with us this evening to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing